views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and I'm on a mission to help shift the planet to a more peaceful and loving way of being by awakening women, moms especially, to the full potential of the life they've come here to live. Today, I have a guest who is very special to me because I have had the great privilege of working closely with her in my volunteer and professional membership life. I'm honored to call her a friend, and I always look forward to sharing conversation with her. Her name is Diane McCoy. And Diane partners with people to help them be more effective leaders in their life, career, and business. Recently, she released her first book, Finding Your Voice, Connecting the Stories That Shape Your Life, which has launched her into a new chapter of exploration. Her own story involves many interesting twists and turns, including working abroad in Europe and the Middle East, being a member of the associate faculty at Royal Roads University in BC, leading others through change in various areas of work, such as oil and gas, electricity, financial services, etc., as well as guiding others to find their own voice through her extensive time and role with our local chapter of Canadian Association of Professional Speakers. Diane is a speaker, facilitator, coach, mom, daughter, granddaughter, and so much more. But despite this, it was unpacking and finding her grandma's Bible that awakened her to how our stories shape who we are and how valuable it is to share these reflections with others. Today, she's going to share some of her discoveries, including how themes arise from these expressions that can help us understand and explore our own journey more fully. Diane, welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show.
Thanks, Debbie. It's great to be here.
Why don't we start with you sharing a bit about your own story around deciding to write Finding Your Voice?
Sure. Well, you know, I'm the oldest daughter in my family, and I had a really close relationship with my paternal grandmother. And it was an interesting relationship because when you're the first granddaughter, there's a close bond with your grandmother. But really, it wasn't until I was raising my own children that her and I got together on a regular basis. And I heard stories that captivated me in terms of, my ancestry, my father. My father didn't talk a lot about when he was growing up. And I found all these stories through my grandmother about her growing up and also my father. So that was the link for me.
Nice. I remember you saying that by sharing your grandma's story with your mom, it actually opened her eyes to some aspects of your grandma. Do you want to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. So I had written the draft of the book, and it's a piece of creative nonfiction. And what that means is that's, you know, some of the facts that I know, I shape some stories around the facts. So sharing that draft with my mother, it just opened up a wonderful discussion of my mother growing up and some of the things that I had indicated in the stories. It really resonated for her, and it was sort of like it woke her up to another part of a story that she was able to share with me that I hadn't heard before.
Right. Oh, that's so beautiful when that happens. I'm currently reading The Awakened Woman by Dr. Tara Rae Trent. Mm. And she supports what you just said about stories. She talks about how important it is as women, especially, that we share these stories and that we keep them alive and allow them to spread across generations. So
yeah, and you know, you talk about generations. You know, I've got two sons, and there just isn't the kind of sitting around and talking about stories as often as I'd like. So the other reason, I mean, I wrote this book is to connect to my sons who can take this book and share it with their children, my grandchildren, so they know some of the things that came before them. What a yes. Wonderful legacy.
Yes, it is. It's, I mean, it's part of your history, right? It is your story, his story, her story, whatever we want to call it. Nice. So when you and I talked about this show, I remember us talking about how important you felt the different phases of a woman's life are. Do you want to just share a little bit about that?
Yeah, through writing this book, and I wrote the stories of my maternal grandmother and my mother, there were themes that came out of the stories that I wrote. And, you know, as all of us travel through life, we go through certain phases. And I'm even seeing that now with my daughter-in-laws in terms of, you know, the romance at the beginning and the first child and, you know, where they are in terms of their relationship. These themes keep repeating over and over again, of course, in all of our lives. And that became a real anchor point, you know, using those themes and writing the stories around the themes, or rather the stories came and then the themes emerged.
Right, right. So in other words, then life is really different when you're in what they call the maiden phase from when you're in that mother phase. And of course, now I'm entering into the crone phase. I'm not very excited about the word they've chosen for that phase. I'm not sure that crone sounds really exciting, but I know this phase of my life is. So I just think that it's a strange name. But when you say about the kids, I mean, that is such a huge thing, because I think so many women just put so much of their energy into being a mom that they sometimes forget that that relationship with their kids is natural and it's an ongoing thing, whereas their relationship with their partner needs work. And if you let that go, it can be really difficult to get back when suddenly the kids are leaving on their own, busy doing other things, and you're looking across the, you know, couch, the table, whatever, at your partner and thinking, oh my gosh, it's just us. Now what are we going to do? So anyway.
You raise a really good point, Debbie, in that the phases that we go through in our life around our children, and in the stories that that I wrote here, all of the women went through this. It seemed like a struggle around the point of children leaving home and moving off. So it was finding themselves and what were they going to do next? And a lot of resistance from husbands around that. So yeah, the journey, it's rich with all kinds of happenings.
Yes. And I would imagine also with some patterns, because those patterns might come out in your stories that one of the things I do with women is help them identify the patterns that are holding them back in life. And they might come out more in these stories.
They definitely right? do. Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, there's clues, clues that emerge in the stories to help sort of flesh out a point or another of where these people are at their life and what's happening. We can identify with that.
Nice. So maybe we should go a little bit deeper into this. That let's talk about, I guess, the themes. You mentioned that there is a theme that kind of provided a roadmap. Is that the one you were just referring to, or can you expand on that a little bit more?
Well, the themes actually that emerged were around timelines in the women's lives. For instance, beginnings, that sort of thing. What stories really shaped their lives when they were, say, growing up, in their earlier life? And then what happens in our life is the next part, which is finding a partner or, you know, meeting someone. Well, actually, it's a moment in our lives that we never forget. So it's that first love kind of thing. And from there, we go on to partnerships and that kind of thing. So it follows through the natural progression of life. And each of these women had I'm following that roadmap and shaping the stories around the events, those incredible moments mm-hmm. that occurred in their lives. So they're not forgotten. And they really do tell a lot about the character of the women in this book.
Right. And you know, that's very interesting to me because it does raise the point that if you're following the roadmap that so many have followed before you, then it can feel like a sense of relief when you are at that stage where you find the man, you fall in love, whatever. But if you're not following that roadmap, let's say you're a lesbian and you might not even know it, right? Then you suddenly kind of hit this bump in the road. It's actually one of the challenges in your story, in your existence versus what other people are going through. So, I mean, it's still your story and there's nothing right or wrong about anybody's story, but I just find that kind of fascinating how there'd be different roadmaps for all of us, because we're all so unique.
Yeah, we are unique. And the roadmap that I'm following here is about, women who are basically traditional women. And, you know, for other women who are following another path, there's always bumps along the road. I mean, even in the traditional women. But the point about that, though, is we follow this map of emotions and attraction and what's next and hardships. That's all part of our life and just sort of going there and exploring some of those hardships. That's what makes this so fascinating.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't want to take us off on a detour here, but I just need to say this. I think it would be so thrilling to take a look and see, because we live in a 9-year cycle, right? And so in numerology, that becomes really important. And when you start the next cycle, you can expect there to be a lot of new beginnings and things going on in your life. When you reach a 9-year, that's where you're going to have a lot of conclusion and a lot of letting go of things and moving on. And I think it'd be really interesting if you now were able to take these stories and actually look for that 9-year cycle or where you're at in it.
Yeah, that's a great context for how the stories, where they're taking place, and the themes are amazing and how they emerge according to timelines like that, Debbie.
It's yeah,
a great piece. Yeah,
nice. So, what have you learned about yourself while you've been going through this process?
So, one of the goals I had was, I was impressed by the courageousness of my paternal grandmother, who, like I said, had a really close relationship. So that relationship helped me to look at my maternal grandmother, who I didn't know that much about. I mean, she was in my life, but not to the same degree as my paternal one. And my mother, of course, I knew her because I was, being raised. But the point about it is that their lives were courageous. And I tell stories around their courage. And that was really important for me, because what came out of that is I began to reflect on how I was courageous. So the connection was the thread of that courage continued on in my life. But, I hadn't really, let's just say, reflected on that before. So the things that I was looking for in their lives were showing up in my own life.
Nice. But you just hadn't really recognized them as such.
And it helped me get to know my maternal grandmother a lot better as well.
Yeah. You know, that is such an interesting thing to me, because I know for myself, I have questions that I just never even think to ask until my mom, actually a few of her brothers have passed away in the last couple of years. And that got me questioning and asking, asking her about, so wait, help me with the timeline. She happens to come from a very big family. And so it just made me really start asking questions that I had never even thought of asking before, because they've been in my life my whole life. So I just assume I know what I need to know about them, right?
That is an excellent point, Debbie. Absolutely. This process helps you realize the many things about these people who have been in your life that you never knew about, and that helps you so appreciate them. And honestly, because you're the storyteller here, there's an element of yourself that you're putting into every one of these stories. So it's a great process.
Nice. So I wonder though, if there's a way then, like an idea that we could give to a mother who, let's say her kids right now are five and under, or, you know, like they're still in that young stage. Should she start sharing her story, thinking about her story? And I know I don't mean to shit on anyone, but I am saying, is there a way we can give them a tip that they can just start exploring this a bit with their own children?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I work when I work with my clients is I encourage them to journal. And by journaling, it helps us record some of the things that are going on in our life. And even, I really encourage people to express their emotions through journaling. And emotions are often threads that tell a lot more than just words. So if you're feeling happy, your writing, actually your journaling, will look a lot different than those days that you're sad. So by using those reflections, you start to begin to appreciate what's happening in your life, and maybe making some recording those stories that are standout moments for you. Yes. In your life. So a young mom with children, absolutely, record those events in some way, and finding a time to assemble that those stories and that information to make stories from, that's another piece of that.
Nice. You know, I always like to remind parents also to get out of the perfectionist mode. One of the things that you can do is you can share stories about things that were tough for you. Like, I struggled to tie my shoes, and I can remember there being this great big railroad train train along the top of the kindergarten classroom. And when you tied your shoes, they would put up your little, what do you call it? A car. Your little car would go up there, and it was a picture like a shoe, and I couldn't get my shoe up there. And I didn't even want to go to kindergarten anymore because I struggled so much with tying my shoe. But my mom kept working at it with me, and I kept working at it. And eventually I did end up on that train. So sometimes sharing those kinds of stories actually help your child to see that you didn't have everything given to you. You look now like a capable adult who can do absolutely anything, but you're not. You know that. Your child doesn't. So I love how many ways stories could come into this.
Yeah, you've actually raised another good point about sharing with younger children. I have a 7 and a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old grandchildren. So sharing some of my stories with them, it's interesting their reaction, because they suddenly become still and they're listening. And if you have a story around their mom or their dad when they were young, they're just spellbound listening to every single thing around that story.
Yes. And that takes me back to what you said about your own, like your maternal grandma. And as you're learning these kinds of things, it is making your relationship that much stronger.
It is. And it does. And it connects us. And you know, telling these stories also is connecting me again with my sons. You know, it's creating some emotion around the love that you have for your children. You know, you have a different love for your children when they're young versus when they're older. But telling the stories just brings back those feelings of warmth and love for your little, for your children who are now adults.
Yes, you suddenly remember all those hours of cuddling. Because my kids, my boys don't cuddle with me much anymore. They still give me a hug and that kind of thing. But yeah, the cuddles aren't there. But we spent a lot of time cuddling up and reading. And yeah, so which I think probably also helps to raise our own vibrational energy, which is something else I like to help people tap into. Mm-hmm. So do you have a favorite story from your book that you could just share a couple minutes of?
Sure. I will, you know, okay. So faith was a theme that emerged because my grandmothers and even my mother were strong in faith. And one of the stories that I just picked up here is around, you know, where I was born into Roman Catholic family. And so, you know, that was a big part of her life.
Right.
So the first communion and confession, you know, those were very big deals. And so so I tell a little bit about the confessional booth. And, you know, as a growing up, I mean, the confessional booth is a very dark and mysterious place. And so in this, you know, my stories, I put myself in the character's shoes. So in this one, my mother received her first communion confession, and I go on to talk about the confessional booth. And it was made up of three tiny dark rooms, each with its own door. The priest entered through a door in the middle of the booth, and parishioners would sit in the two little rooms on either ends of the booth. Inside, there was only enough space to kneel on a bench, and there was a small shelf to rest your hands in prayer. Though there was a small screen on the wall that people faced in each booth, and when the priest opened up the sliding door on his side of the screen, it was a signal for you to share your sins. Children learned in catechism the words to start the confession, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned." And it goes on to share.
Oh my gosh, that you took me right into that little room. I'm a little claustrophobic, I have to admit. Oh, nice, nice. So where can people pick up a copy of Finding Your Voice?
They'll be able to order it from my website. And also I'll be doing a book launch at the end of April. So Okay. Yeah, there's a couple of ways that they can get hold of the book.
Okay, so your website is Spiral Effects. Is that right?
www.spiraleffects.com. And then that's SPIRALEFFECTS.com.
Perfect. 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 And that's also where people would go if they wanted to work with you on these stories. Do you do workshops and things?
Yes, I'm going to have a workbook built around this book, and then I'll be doing workshops with interested groups around that.
Okay, awesome. And so let's just talk for another minute or so about your giveaway, okay? Mm-hmm. Because this is what could get people started, right? So 10 reasons for collecting your stories and some questions. Do you want to just elaborate on it a little bit?
So the 10 reasons for collecting your stories would be for you to sort of gain some insight into what about those stories. Why would you be doing this? What were some of the key things that happened in your life, you know, around stories? You know, if you're like me, you were an older child, the oldest. So therefore, stories are a little bit more accessible. As you move down into the family chain, maybe they're a little bit more difficult to get at. But this is for anyone at whatever level they're at in the family, for them to get those tips on why they want to collect these stories.
Nice. And then it will help to guide them a little bit in the process. So,
yes.
Awesome. So the link for that will be up with the blog and on the Transformation Talk Radio page where I have Diane's show. So you can get those from either of those places. Diane, thank you so much for coming on the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show and sharing your story about stories. I think that we get so caught up in the mundane world of everyday life that it sometimes is easy to forget that we're actually creating memories with our loved ones every single day. And so I think it's so important we tune back into that. And I just really appreciate you coming on and sharing that there are ways, there's books and such we can use to do that. So a big thank you to our listeners for tuning in, for sharing our show with others, and for just being. You're awesome. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Diane McCoy, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break-free parenting tip. It's very easy for parents to get caught up in the need to create a spectacular life for their children. Typically, this includes things that you longed for as a child but didn't get. So you might put them into every program they express an interest in, take them on whatever trips you can possibly fit into the budget, and maybe even throw parties that cost more than all the gifts you received yourself growing up. The challenge with this is that you might be left running around to more things than you have time for, feeling stressed out about finances, or even getting frustrated when your child complains about the quick supper that you rushed home to make so that you wouldn't have to feed everyone fast food again before practice. This can result in you being snappy and tense most days. It can even affect your hormones, which can only make it harder for you to be happy. And here's the real kicker. It's the little things you do on a regular basis that have the greatest influence on your relationship with your child. That means if giving them every opportunity results in a frustrated, stressed, or grouchy you, it's not worth it. Instead, take time to cuddle, share stories about your past, enjoy free play together, or truly listen to them without letting your opinion, logic, or need to share top-notch advice take over. And find opportunities to laugh together. Because these are the things that create memories your kids and you can cherish forever.